Good evening, movie fans. This is An Evening at the Movies. I am your amazing host, Casey B, and this is the podcast where we eat stale popcorn and drink watered-down sodas and talk about all of our favorite movies and why we love them. Joining me tonight on An Evening at the Movies is everybody's favorite co-host herself, Miss Queenie. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
How's everything in the great state of Texas?
Ask. We're 2 days post-election day. Just don't ask.
I was trying to
Actually,
be.
I will say one thing real quick. To the overwhelming, like, I want to say almost 60% of, well, actually, it was like 51% white women that voted for Greg Abbott. I hope every time you go to the grocery store, no matter what line you pick, it's the longest one. I hope every time you pull up to a gas pump, the gas that you want is out. I hope every shopping cart you ever get, no matter which one it is, has a shitty wheel. I hope you step in a Lego every fucking day for the rest of your life. Any minor inconvenience, I just hope it happens to you. You guys all suck.
On
Anyway,
that
not to
note,
alienate listeners, but
so I believe the word you're looking for is anyway.
anyway,
Joining us tonight on any of
you
the,
asked.
I know I did, and I should have honestly known better. We went through this a year ago, and we'll
That's
probably go
true.
through it again next year as well. Let's hope not.
Anyway.
But anyway, joining us tonight on An Evening at the Movies, Amanda, as you are, I'm going to go pour a beverage and I will let you handle the introduction.
All right. Well, we have a returning guest who I did not get to record with last time because I don't enjoy that film. But welcome back, Harvey Laguerre, aka Haj Vandre.
Thank you very much for the introduction. Yes, I am back to talk about one of my favorite actors in one of his fave and one of my favorite films of his. This is going to be
Mine
fun.
too.
Yeah, I didn't have to do much
Yeah.
research for this one. I remember
Me
this
either.
movie. I remember seeing it. I still listen to the soundtrack. It's so good. So good. Let's do it.
Yeah, this movie was such a part of my 90s. Like, I watched it weekly. Like, anytime it was on, I would watch it. And then, when it had, I think we had the, we either had the VHS or probably had the VHS or the DVD. I don't know. But anyway, I haven't seen it as much as I've gotten older. But I still remember it because I watched it so much in my like teen formative years that I loved this movie so much. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Me too. Cannot
So
wait.
I guess no more mystery. I'm here to announce that tonight we are kicking off everything Eddie month on An Evening at the Movies. So for those of you who don't know who Eddie is obviously one of the top
Cousin
comedians
Eddie.
of all time. He is an amazing actor. He is funny as hell. He is the great Eddie Murphy.
Yay! Woo-woo.
So, this month on An Evening at the Movies, we will be.
Sexual chocolate.
That's coming up later in
Sorry.
the later in the month. So, for those of you that caught that reference, tune in later, and we will be having a special guest that week as well to discuss Coming to America, Beverly Hills Cop. We're going to revisit that one. Shrek. Possibly, if we can get everything set up, we'll be looking at The Golden Child as well.
Nice.
So much fun.
Yes.
Such a good movie.
And then
Brother Noopsy.
Nepal.
Oh,
N A P A L. Viva Nepal. Butt Pie. It's a sequel to a book written called Butt Cake.
Jesus.
So,
God.
yes, that's what we have coming up on Everything Eddie Month. But tonight we are here to discuss a movie that is amazing just as much as the other four movies are amazing. It's funny, it's sweet, it's everything that you would imagine from a Eddie Murphy comedy slash rom-com. It is the 1992 classic Boomerang.
Yes.
So,
and I feel like people sleep on this movie now. It's like people forget about it. And I feel like it's one of Eddie's best movies, but
it is. It is.
We'll get to that. But
before we get into all of that, I had a thought I wanted to run by you guys, because for those of us that are in our 40s, we've grown up.
That's all of us.
Well, yeah. Not all necessarily all the listeners, though.
That's true. Okay.
We're very popular with the Gen Zers. But there's different phases of the career of one Eddie Murphy. And personally, and my thought was, I think the early Eddie Murphy was a lot more adult comedy oriented, where, and then we started pretty much with this movie, he started to move towards your Daddy Daycare, Haunted Mansion, things of that nature. Yet we still had the Nutty Professor, and somebody did not silence their phone and wasn't warned to silence their phone. Thank you very much.
How many times do I have to tell you?
Every damn time we record.
I'm not your mommy.
That would be freaking weird. And then now lately we're starting to get more back away from the family-friendly Eddie and get back to your Dolomites, and we're revisiting the Beverly Hills Cop franchise with them doing Beverly Hills Cop 4 now, and you're starting to get back into the more classic Eddie that we grew up with. So would you guys kind of sort of think that's a fair assumption of how his career has gone?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Amanda.
Well, no, I was just saying, I agree with that, but at the same time, Boomerang is not family friendly. It's rom-com, but
it's kind of sort of the end of that first era.
Yeah, it's not raw Eddie Murphy, but it's still, you know. It's definitely a tamed down. I wouldn't call it.
It's not Eddie Murphy.
They say pussy a lot.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm trying to think. It's for me, Eddie Murphy's his run, his progression. He's 48 Hours and Trading Places, and obviously he did Raw and Delirious. Is young Eddie ad-libbing a lot, just funny, just by him being himself, not a lot of acting. Eddie is naturally funny, so he's just there. I think as you progress, then you get to Coming to America, you get to the acting. I don't think that first three or four movies he's acting. I think when he's like, all right, now I have to start doing these characters, now I have to play a part, he's Eddie in all those other movies. This time, Boomerang, he's different.
Suave, like you said, Daddy Eddie. It's charismatic Suave. Eddie.
Exactly. So he's different. He has to do that. And then he's working to being an actor. Now he's a dad in some of these movies. And Coming to America is really him just doing the different characters, the makeup, the voices. This is really him. One of the first movies that he co-wrote is this stuff. Mm-hmm. But you're right about that. He gets into it. He's like on the verge of his movie star run. Even Beverly Hills Cop, he has so much of that is just him riffing and doing whatever. But when he finally has to act, that's when I think the real talent shows, because he can still be funny, but he's working off a script. He's amazing.
So I was just going to say, spoiler alert for one of the episodes coming up this month. I think definitely for this franchise, you definitely see the evolution of Eddie, because like Cop 1 and Cop 2, you definitely have that naturally funny Eddie. Where Cop 3, it's more I'm going to try and be as politically correct as I can by saying this and not necessarily saying he phoned it in. But I don't feel like he was in his element at that point. I think he was still kind of sort of in that middle ground. And I think maybe that might be where some of, if not all, but some of the problems with why people aren't as huge of a fan of Cop 3 come from.
Cop 3 was trash. I can say
Hey, the Universal ride was cool.
Boomerang.
I think Boomerang is Eddie trying to establish himself as a sex symbol. Because in that time in the 90s, you had, you know, Mel Gibson and you know, Richard Gere and just like all these guys around the same age that, you know, I think this movie was showing the romantic side of him, but also I think it was him trying to, or maybe not even him, but just putting him out there, not just as a comedian, but also as this, like, you know, attractive sexual man who can do other stuff.
Which I think he pulled off the role incredibly well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we'll get to that later when we get to our thoughts and reviews. But, I mean.
Did you see Dre's message, Casey?
I'm checking my phone right now.
Okay.
Talk amongst yourselves while I respond.
Rhode Island is neither a road or an island. Discuss.
What I will say is while I'm not entirely, I think Eddie was trying to be more, I don't want to say adult, but more sophisticated. But I think there was a conscious effort to show affluent Black people doing well. What you have are these, they're in advertising, they're successful, they're well dressed, they go out, they eat, you know, they're not just not drug dealers, not whatever. They're Black people doing well. And there's nothing special about it. So I think when you get that, what you get is attractive Black people, and he kind of fits into that. And that's how you can introduce the Robin Givens as Vamp.
Yeah.
How you can introduce Halle Berry as Vamp, Super Vamp. How you can, everything about it. The music is cool. It's chill. Everybody, it's a super Black cast. It's like the who's who of Black actors. Grace Jones is in this movie. Like, it's
fucking great. Eartha Kitt is in this, Eartha seducing Eddie Murphy.
Exactly.
Like, come on.
And I will say that I feel like she kind of got typecast after playing that part. She was very much the older woman trying to seduce the younger man. She kind of fell into that, which I felt bad, because then she played that, essentially that same part in Living Single. She was that same woman. She did an episode. And I didn't want, and by then, Eartha Kitt, you know, a little bit older, but she's like a sex symbol of epic proportions for Black people. We loved her. And that was just the part that she fell into. This movie, he's been good with having great cast of Black people, just like that Black movie. He puts everybody he knows in there. That's as close as you can get to a great cast of Black people as like Harlem Nights.
He's
fantastic.
Well, I will circumvent the small details really quick, but I mean, literally looking at this cast, I mean, it's Eddie, Robin Givens, Halle Berry, David Alan Grier, Martin Lawrence, Grace Jones, Eartha Kitt, Chris Rock, Tisha Campbell, Lila Rochon, and John Witherspoon.
Lila Rochon is so amazing in this movie. I wish she had a bigger part. I love her so much.
She was in a movie for 5 minutes and she was great. She was
I think her hammer toes had
a gold star for Marcus.
So, okay. We need to take it out really quick. And I am going to hit this button right here. And we are going to connecting to us. Welcome Harvey. To the show, DeAndre Robinson.
Hello, everybody.
Help me remember, Harvey. I'm sorry, because I want to ask you something about what you just talked about the the cast and how everything being like Black, affluent, whatever. So help me remember when we get into it, because I have a question I want to ask you. Okay.
Okay. No problem.
So
what's up, D?
Hello, everybody.
Sounds like you, Ho.
So putting a pin in the discussion for a second. We all know Amanda and Harvey are here. So Mr. King Dre is joining us as well after a long day of helping his fiance move. He graced us with his presence, so we are happy to have him here. Dre, hey. Welcome on the show.
Hello, everybody. Sorry, I came in a little late. We had to take a break, and a much-needed break with that. For that matter, I hate moving with a passion.
It sucks.
We all fucking do.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, we're glad to have you here and have you join in with the discussion on the great Eddie Murphy and the wonderment that is Boomerang.
Yay, yay.
And we already announced too as well that you'll be joining us again later in December to discuss your favorite Eddie Murphy movie, The Coming to America.
Best comedy of all time. Yeah, I said it. And I said it again.
Of all time.
My neighbors.
Fuck you too.
Yes. See, I would argue that Trading Places is better, but they're both great. But
I love the fact that all four of us have our own opinion on which Eddie Murphy comedy is the greatest, and not a damn one of them freaking match. Dre has Coming to America. Amanda just stated Trading Places. Harvey's got Boomerang. Casey has the iconic Beverly Hills Cop.
Don't get mad at me, Casey, but I keep saying it. Beverly Hills Cop 3. Beverly Hills Cop 3. Listen. I would die on that pedestal. Beverly Hills Cop 3 is a better movie than Beverly Hills Cop 1. However, Beverly Hills Cop 2 is the best.
You are out of your top-picking mind. And I know that I don't do that. By the way, quick point. I picked Boomerang for this, but my favorite Eddie Murphy comedy is not any of the four movies that we've chosen.
Really?
What is it?
I think the funniest thing that he's ever done is Bowfinger. Ugh. Bowfinger is fucking hilarious. Are you kidding me?
I cringe at that movie.
I love Bowfinger.
My daughter just laughed at me. Right?
What?
My daughter just laughed.
Sasha just laughed at you.
It's cool.
I'm glad he didn't say his favorite Eddie Murphy comedy was Norbit.
Look, I'm still disappointed he put that. He released that. I'm so mad at him for doing that. That was like 20 years.
And I did a survey for that. Black people under the age of, I want to say 50-ish, don't like Norbit. Older black women, grandmas and moms love Norbit. And it's the truth. My foster mom loves that movie. Like loved the movie. I despise that movie. I love Eddie Murphy, but Jesus, that show's horrible. That show is bad. Even with the cast that they had for that movie, it was just bad.
I don't think I've ever 100% finished that entire movie. I did not enjoy that movie at all.
That's good. It's okay.
I really love him as Donkey in the Shrek movies, but
he's
in love with that dragon. So cute. Okay.
Okay. Speaking of Eddie Murphy and his affectionate love for animals, back on track. So I want to make reference to the fact that we need to not get too far into this episode before we acknowledge the true victim in this movie. Everybody might say that the women in the early part of the movie are the victim. Eddie was even victimized by Robin throughout the most of the movie. But the real victim in this movie is Kirby!
Kirby! Whatever happened to Kirby?
One of the most genius pickup lines outside of Shaw Brother from Five Heartbeats imaginable. He paid 20 bucks for a leash. he paid 20 bucks for a leash and it hit the Kirby. Yo, that was smooth. Shaw Brother.
That was Kirby. Genius.
Shaw Brother and Kirby is two of the best black pickup lines of all time. it really is.
I think that would work on most women. So
no, because I'm not gonna lie, I tried it once and it did not work for me at all.
Oh my God.
Looked at as the weird, creepy, freaking dude, freaking standing in a park yelling for his imaginary dog to come back.
Were you dressed in like a 5-piece suit with a nice coat though, or were you just like?
And you know? Did you pay? And did you pay 20 bucks for a leash? Listen, the reason why that worked because karma. Like, you can't pay for a leash. If you bring your own leash, Karma said, fuck you. Listen,
he was committed to the bit.
Yeah, I didn't think about that part. Yeah, I probably should have paid $20 for my own leash paid $20 and got a leash and then not brought one from home.
You think Kirby made it back to his owners that he bought the leash from? That's what I like to believe.
Well, Kirby, at the time, he had a grooming appointment. He was so dirty that when she came over, he had to go to the groomers. I mean,
that was a lie.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was a lie.
Yeah, I know.
But she fell for it.
Yeah,
gold star for Marcus.
So like he wasn't, so the dog wasn't there, but like there was no remnants of the dog anywhere.
Yeah.
No dog food, no water,
no water, nothing.
It didn't even smell like anything. That house, that apartment.
No dog hair.
Exactly. She fell for it. She came to that apartment looking for some activity. Yeah, that's what it was. All
right. Well, and even then,
he was smart too. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, that apartment is literally right next door to his creepy ass fucking stalker, played by Tisha Campbell,
which is hilarious. Which is all of that
again, all the freaking yelling from next door that was done, and she still doesn't freaking clue in.
Girlfriend, don't trust him.
I might not want to be here.
And she still wanted him. If he had come over looking for some. Not even Jesus was for it. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
This was Jesus about that whole thing. He knew for a fact that he did not want her to sleep at his house. Took her home in New York City, by the way, which is all apartments. We took her up to our apartment and then did it there. That was fucking genius. Go start for Marcus right there.
Go start. Exactly. Gold star for Marcus.
I saw her feet being fucked up. That was the best thing ever.
That was going to be my next question, is especially for like the rest of the guys that are a part of this. Do you really think in real life experiences that we would have gone that long without knowing how fucked up her hammer toes were?
Hey, Martin said you don't fuck her feet.
Martin did say it. Listen, however, though, being the guy that hates feet, like, I hate everybody's feet. My feet, your feet, my baby's feet, Jesus' feet, I hate all feet. However, so I understand that. Martin is right. You don't fuck your feet. Listen. She did everything right. Listen, buy some more socks and call it a day.
I would take Lulu Rashawn as is with those feet.
She's a very hot, attractive woman.
I mean, she is sunshine. She got pussy so good that if you threw up in the air, it turns sunshine.
Well, I was going to say you just want to give her a hug, but that sounds better.
Well, it makes me flash back to the whole bit in Eddie Murphy Delirious where he's like young and he wants to fuck and he wants all the pussy and people are like throwing pussy at him like it's a frisbee and he's like... Psh. Thank you. I want all the pussy. He's putting the pussy in his pocket. Pussy's falling out of his pocket. I'm probably going to bring this up again over the whole course of the month, but I really hope to God that the Netflix stand-up comedy specials, whatever it boils out to be, come back into play now that we're moving out of the COVID era. Because I really would like to see in this day and age, because a lot of the stuff Eddie talked about on stage in the 80s would probably get his 60-year-old butt freaking canceled by cancel.
Yeah, you can't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we can all agree on that.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
Only because Chappelle.
Chappelle does go there.
Chappelle says anything the fuck he wants in a nice way and the one person is not canceled. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't think
people have tried, but yeah.
Oh, but yeah. But the only reason why Chappelle's not canceled because he's not doing dumb shit outside of stand up. What he says might be fucked up, but he's not going around doing dumb shit outside of his stand up, which is smart.
Well, yeah, so probably the dumbest thing Chappelle ever did was sign the big contract with Comedy Central for
the show,
and then immediately go on hiatus to Africa for like 90 days or whatever the hell it was.
I wouldn't call that dumb. They wanted him to do shit that he didn't want to do with that. So I understand why. I probably would have read the fine print.
Why did he sign the contract? Yeah.
My point exactly. I probably would have read the fine print first But they wanted him to do things that he wanted to do, and he stood up for it. That's admirable. However, the Reed first. But yeah, that's different.
That's why you have lawyers.
Well, and here's my hope for the whole Eddie stand-up thing. I think Eddie's funny enough naturally that he can push that envelope. I don't know how many of us saw his return to Saturday Night Live a couple years ago before Coming to America came out. But that was the first time he'd been in that environment since he left the show.
Right.
So there was a lot of question marks over his head as to whether or not he was still going to quote unquote have it. And I'm not going to lie, that's probably one of my most favorite episodes of Saturday Night Live in probably the last 10 years.
It was amazing. He was home.
He brought back so, all the classic characters.
Richard Robinson neighborhood. This is fucking great.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My only issue with what you're saying, because I agree, I'd like Eddie to be Eddie. A lot of Eddie's jokes that he made in Raw and Delirious are not going to fall the same coming from the mouth of a 70-something-year-old dude. So that's my only concern, is that when you're 20 something making these jokes, it's one thing. When you're old enough to be someone's grandpa and you're making these jokes, I mean, it depends, because George Carlin made, you know, shitty ass jokes till he died. So I could be wrong, but it just feels weird to me.
And so I would pay money to see Eddie Murphy talk about Bill Cosby for an hour and a half on stage.
I agree with Amanda about Eddie, but for a different reason. Not because he's old, but because he did the things he did after he did raunchy stuff. He did family shit right afterwards.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, the Nutty Professors, all the kind of good shit. Right? I know, right? But yeah, so...
Daddy Daycare, which I love. Love Daddy Daycare.
With him doing that, it's kind of hard for him to go back to where he was after seeing that in LA. Because he tried to come into America, and again, fuck Tyler Perry for that. But he tried to come into America and try to make more family friendly, and then it didn't go well. So yeah. It's kind of hard. It's hard to go back to where he was, and when you do a lot of more family friendly stuff.
Yeah. Go ahead. Is that the baby? Oh, I was just gonna say, if we want to get back to kind of
you have a question that possibly might piss off everybody that's on this show.
Yes, I have an opinion or a thing, but that's what I was getting to. Since we were, before Dre jumped in, we were breaking down the cast. So I have to wait for Dre to be back for this. I have an opinion about something that I think you guys are.
Oh my god,
it's a baby!
Awesome. Cutie.
So for everybody not watching the video, we don't post the video, but Dre,
you can't see it, but I'm squishing your face.
Dre just introduced his daughter Sasha to An Evening at the Movies, and we would like to welcome Sasha as a first time.
Hey, Sasha, hi.
Sorry, but she was making too much noise, so I had to get her. So
yeah,
she wanted daddy time. I know we're not Shannon Sharp, Sasha. we will try.
Oh my god, she's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have to put this out there before we start discussing the movie. Not that it affects my feelings on the movie, but I just need you guys to know this about me. Please don't hate me. Please don't cancel me.
Well,
just say it. That
judgment till after you make the statement.
I am not a fan of Halle Berry.
You're not a fan of what?
There's a lot to that. It's not of her acting or how beautiful
of her acting.
Oh, nobody is.
Really?
Wow, that's strong.
So there's a couple movies. Let me phrase that. Her 90s stuff, nobody was afraid of. Like nobody gave Halle Berry a chance for her acting. She's just the most beautiful woman in the world. So she got a lot of
things. Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Now, from I guess 2000 when she played X-Men, and then on when she did what's that one? Where she had to fight and then she was like possessed by a devil or something like that. I forgot what it was. But from 2000 on, she showed acting chops. So,
see, I still there's not really, not that I don't like movies that she's in because she's in it, because I do, like, I like Boomerang. I just don't like her as an actress. I don't know. It's hard to pinpoint. I find her to be, and not so much in Boomerang, probably more in her later stuff, I find her to be kind of smug and unbelievable at times. And I think that's maybe why I don't like her.
So how did you feel about her in Jungle Fever? Have you seen Jungle Fever?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think her earlier stuff, she's more, I don't want to use the word precious, but kind of like how she is in Boomerang. She's kind of, now Jungle Fever was different, but I don't know what changed with her. I like Jungle Fever as a movie, so I don't really, it's kind of like Boomerang. I don't pay that much attention to her.
I mean, she's had a few, I think, I know what you mean, is unfortunately when, and sadly, and I think it's because she's a woman, but when you're that attractive, it's got to be really difficult to get like parts with substance, because she's going to get typecast as the really attractive. That's her. But that's why she took parts like that. She's a crackhead in Jungle Fever.
A very, very beautiful crackhead, by the way.
She's very beautiful.
They tried the best to make her like a crackhead.
When you got that, it's hard to do. But she wasn't attractive in Losing Isaiah. So that was a good part for her. But then she gets parts because of her looks. So introducing Dorothy Dandridge, like, she got parts that she did because of her looks. She can act. She's not a great actress, but she can act. But I think she's buoyed by the fact that she's so like violently gorgeous that you can almost get past that. The first time I saw her was, what was it? I was just looking at it. Strictly Business, which is the first movie I saw Halle Berry, which I love. I love Strictly Business. That's like, I'm trying to compare. It's like the first time you see Cameron Diaz from The Mask, like she walks out and you're like, oh my God, who is that? It's the same thing. It's the same, like, she just kind of shows up. You're like super attractive. She's not acting great in that. But she's had a few parts where, you know, her acting chops have come out, but unfortunately. And even that Oscar win that she's got.
Because she showed her tits.
I'm going to ask like that. Monster Ball, I don't know if she should have got that for Monster Ball. Me personally.
She didn't get it for Monster Ball. She got it because of all the other Black women who did. No, that's why she won. What I'm saying, that figuratively, she won it because every other Black woman who deserved an Oscar nomination and win didn't get one.
Right.
That's why. Because we remember, that's the same year that Denzel won his first lead Oscar. This is the whole, we owe Black people an Oscar. Let's give them two. So this is what they did. She didn't deserve that one. That was, like you said, she was naked. Like, that movie didn't even make that much sense.
It was a softcore.
Right. It wasn't a good movie.
It was a softcore porn scene that she was in. And then they gave it to her. And it was bad.
Yeah, what I was going to say. I'm like,
and it's like, that's why. Ew.
I don't want to be that guy to make this statement, but if you pull like 100 people in America right now and ask them, what do they remember about Monsters Ball?
That's it.
It's not going to be
the section.
It's going to be that scene.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that's fair, and I don't think that's worthy of a Best Actress Academy Award, but it is what it is, and she ended up walking out that night with the trophy. Hats off to Halle. You broke down the walls for everybody else now.
Yeah. And
I think, honestly, no offense to Halle, I think Denzel did more of the breaking down the walls that night than she did.
Oh, definitely. But if you think about it, it's even more, as rare as it was for a Black man to win an Oscar, is even more rare for a Black woman to win one.
Yeah.
So
you are that extremely.
Did she win the first one or second one? She was the first, second one.
The first one was the first Best Actress for Black women. First Best Actress from what's her name from your favorite movie, Amanda.
She was a supporting actor, wasn't she? Did she win supporting actress?
No, she won supporting. She wasn't even allowed to be at the ceremony when she won. What am I thinking of?
I feel like somebody from The Help won supporting actress before she won that. That could be wrong.
The Help? Who won for The Help? Who won? Viola didn't win for The Help.
What's the other lady's name? I can never remember her name. I love her.
Precious?
She was the one. She was the one in Mama.
Oh.
Yeah.
The
Help was after Monsters Ball.
Yeah, The Help was.
Oh, was it okay? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Octavia Spencer.
Octavia
Spencer. Thank you.
Yeah. Hattie McDaniel won the first supporting Black Actress Award.
What the hell?
Who did you say?
Hattie McDaniel. You said.
Hattie McGill.
Oh, Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah, she won, and I don't think she was allowed to pick up the Oscar.
Yeah.
I don't think she was at the show. Yeah.
Well, no.
But yeah, Halle won first lead actress for a Black person. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was going to say, off the point entirely, I'm pretty sure that that they offered the part that Halle won her Oscar for. They offered it to Angela Bassett. She was like, hell no.
She's smart.
She said she gave him the big fuck you. She said she gave him the big fuck you.
She's like, I am not trying to play like I'm fucking Billy Bob Thornton. Y'all are nasty.
Well, exactly. It makes sense. I mean, Angela Bassett was at the time had an incredibly hot career at that point. Mm-hmm. I believe right around the time of What's Love Got to Do with It.
That was a little earlier, but yeah. Bassett's amazing and everything.
Well, What's Love Got to Do? I think came in it. Didn't come in the '80s or 90s. Angela Bassett was everybody's biopic mom. Like literally, you want a biopic mom? Angela Bassett was
that. Yeah.
That's right. She was the mom in the Jacksons. They ran her right. She was. That's right.
Notorious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's.
That's right.
Boys in the Hood.
That's right. Jesus.
She's my American.
Mm-hmm. I still stand pat. Boys in the Hood was one of the best performances Ice Cube has ever had in a movie.
Mm. I agree.
Yeah.
Anyway,
let's keep it moving. Yeah.
I just wanted to put that out there before we start actually getting into stuff, because it's an unpopular opinion and I didn't want to accidentally spit it out that I hate Halle Berry. Well, hate's a strong word. I don't hate her, but anyway.
It's okay. It's all right.
Casey, are you ready to time me on this plot description?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure you're going to beat it by a country mile. I mean, it's not like it's that complicated of a plot to describe.
I wrote one a little more in depth, but I should still beat the 90-second clock.
Okay.
All right.
So, okay, here we go. And unlock my phone.
I don't really need to be timed, but it's okay.
Yes, you do. We need references.
And Sasha!
Sasha's ready for you to beat the clock, too.
Okay.
Go.
Okay. Marcus Graham, a suave, irresistible, and self-confident marketing executive, lives a bachelor's dream life. He woos and beds women at his will. However, Marcus meets his match in his new boss, Jacqueline, who is basically his female counterpart. After Marcus gets a taste of his own medicine from Jacqueline and his work goes downhill, Marcus must reevaluate his life and the way he treats women. Marcus's situation becomes even more complicated as he finds himself attracted to Angela, Jacqueline's assistant, who happens to be dating his best friend. Will Marcus be able to be capable of change in time to find true love? Stay tuned.
All right. I gotta say, very nice. First thing I have to say is, remember, at no point was Halle Berry dating the part that was being played by the way. They were just friends.
That's why I put up quotations.
Friends.
Yes.
Just friends.
Oh, did you? Gerard was so fucking awkward.
Oh, he was. I'm sorry, I didn't see the quote, so my apologies for that. Yeah, he would not be that lucky to be dating a woman like that. But that was a well done synopsis.
That was vulnerable. Ryan Tomatoes need you.
Yes, they do.
So, I'm not gonna lie. I saw that plot twist with the three of them coming a freaking mile away.
Yeah, it's a rom-com.
Yeah. So, yeah, even, 30 years ago when this movie came out? Because, July 1st, 1992.
Good year.
So, this movie is 30 years old.
Martin came out the same year. Did this movie come out before Martin or after? I feel like it came out before Martin.
You mean the show?
What was the show. Day? What's the exact date for the movie?
July
1st. This movie, July 1st.
I'm pretty sure Mark came out in September.
Because by the time I saw this movie for the first time, I had already been watching Martin. And so I was like, oh my God, it's Martin and Gina in a movie together. And then they had no parts together. But
oh, that's interesting. Yeah, they were in the movie. They never dealt with each other.
Yeah.
But clearly they knew each other because they had both been in House Party years before. So they were aware.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Also directed by the same director.
Reginald Hudlin.
House Party.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. When did Boomerang come out again?
Boomerang is 92?
92, July 1st, 92.
Yeah. And Martin came out August of 92.
So it wasn't really that far off.
Yeah.
And here for August 27th, 1992 was the first episode of Martin. So not too bad.
And I think Martin had a full season that first season anyway, so I could be wrong.
I was just curious because, like I said, when I watched it for the first time, I had already seen Martin, and so I recognized them both, but I couldn't remember if it was before or after. So.
No, but I mean, even like we were saying, though, as right before Dre came on, the amount of people in this cast, I mean, sitting back 30 years now and looking back at all the people that are in
all star cast.
I mean, yeah, obviously 30 years later, it's like, wow. All-star. I mean, it's literally top to bottom. Like we said, Eddie, Robin, Hallie, David Alan Grier, Martin Lawrence, Grace Jones, Eartha Kitt, Chris Rock, Keisha Campbell, Lila Rochon, and the great, late, great John Witherspoon, rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. I love John Witherspoon. That fool makes me laugh. But there is no tomorrow.
And Mario Van Peebles.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wait, is Mario in it? His father's in it.
Or is it his father?
Melvin is in it.
Melvin, that's right. It's my bad. You're right. It's Melvin.
Yeah. Melvin.
Another random part. Do you guys remember the part, the guy who played Nelson? You know, the dirty editor guy, video guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember what else he's famous for in the 80s?
No.
I feel like I'm going to kick myself in the ass when you tell me.
He was doing his voice. There was a commercial for a certain beverage that he used to do the voice for, that he used to do like the tagline, never had it, never will. I think it was like 7-Up or something.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, if you hear it, okay. I mean, I'm a little bit older than you, so I'll remember that
not
stuff.
Not that much.
I have absolutely all this space for random, unnecessary, absolutely.
Oh, I'm with you.
I'm so bad. So,
really quick, because I have an interesting question from the movie that I want to bring up, but the fact that just a couple weeks ago one of us had a birthday, I'm curious to know if his wife has officially moved him into the senior community yet.
For those who are unaware, my wife is desperate to move into an active adult community. Like, she cannot wait. They're cheaper. She can't wait to move us in. And I'm like, I'm an active adult now. I don't need to move into a development that has it in the title, but they're cheaper. You're going to be there with people of your same age. I'm like, I'm fine. I don't need to go. And her joke is like, oh, no, we're moving. And, you know, when the time comes, I'll put you in the nicest, you know, old folks home, and I'll come and visit you every day. And I'm like, I could just stay home. I don't have to leave.
Right? But
that's the reference. She cannot wait.
Like, Harvey, watch the first part of Soul Men with Samuel L. Jackson and the late great Bernie Mac. And you probably have a different opinion on the old folks' communities. I'm just saying. So watch that first part.
So do you guys think, do you guys think that Robin Givens would have gotten this part in this movie if it hadn't been for her highly publicized marriage and divorce with Mike Tyson?
Ironically, all about the same time that she would have been doing.
Because I know she's an actress and did a lot of, did some stuff after, but she didn't really do much before. So I wonder if that celebrity status got her a part, or if, you know, she just auditioned and won it outright, or I don't know.
So God is truth. I think Robin Givens was in a lot of other black, like low key black movies. And
before
I know
for this.
Fact, yeah.
Okay.
And give me a minute to look it up, because I don't change diapers right now. However, though, but pretty sure she was in a lot of other low key black movies before this. And I know for a fact that they won this all black cast, outside of the racist people from the diner and the suit store.
And the store.
So
I love when he yells at that guy. He's like, you know, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm.
So let's see. What I can tell you, what I know of Robin Givens, I was just looking in here just because I wanted to just make sure I had the names right. She was in a movie called A Rage in Harlem, where she was the vamp. She was so she did that. She was also in
Head of the Class.
That's where I remember her first, Head of the Class, where she was the super smart girl. She was also in The Women of Brewster Place. So she had done some like black film or series. But I think her part in Head of the Class is the reason she ended up getting that role.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's what it is. And she's always the super, she's always the vamp in these movies. She's always the pretty one. And that's how it fit her in this movie. And she's sexy, no doubt.
She's a fucking knockout.
Oh, yes. Amazing. Ironically enough, I'm looking through her list of films, and she apparently was in a movie called Tyson. So she may have played herself in the movie.
That'd be interesting.
I hope not, but...
The one that just came out?
No, 2008. Ooh, I think. Like, I don't know where. That's 13 years old.
Wow. Can worms open all over the place.
Yeah. But I think she got that part. One, he wanted black actresses. They wanted a full black cast. Two, I'm sure this stuff that I'm sure a lot of this, you're right about the whole marriage with Mike Tyson and all that stuff, give her a role, but she fit the role perfectly. She was
believable. She did. She did. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. On the same note of Robin Givens, there is a scene probably about 20, 30 minutes into the movie where Eddie is at the unveiling of Strong Jay.
That psycho.
Oh, Grace Jones. Oh,
so she's sweet, but she's psycho, a little bit psycho.
Never mind. Very well.
So, okay. It's the point that I'm talking about, though, is the first time Eddie meets Halle Berry's character. And he's trying to come across the room, and he's trying to get to Jacqueline because, oh my God, his loins are on fire for her. And he's basically intercepted by Hallie, who makes reference to the fact that, oh, she's a hot woman. If, you know, I was that way, I would totally be down for that. And Eddie's like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Mm-hmm. And she's all like, well, okay, are you trying to tell me that as a guy, there's not somebody that if you saw them like that, you would be, damn, if I was that way, I'd be all over that.
I know the scene you're talking about. I hear you. That's that's interesting scene. I hear. Go ahead.
The question being, because I know women aren't necessarily looked down upon for making statements like that. I know some guys might look at it as, oh no, I'm, you know, much man. I cannot have thoughts like that. So I get not necessarily as much for Amanda, not that I'm trying to exclude you because we all know probably can assume what your answer will be to the question, but to Dre and Harvey, if you were that way, is there a specific male type figure that you'd be all over?
All right, so because I'm gonna try to get this fast and sweet. I'm very comfortable with my sexuality. I do consider myself a straight man, so I'm very comfortable with my sexuality to say that some men do look are handsome. Now, again, not because I haven't thought about it. Okay, all right. Not because I haven't thought about it, but it's not in my head. I'm like, oh, I will fuck that man. That happened. But I do think
it didn't have to be like that. You can still appreciate people for their looks.
I do think that some men are handsome. Like a guy that you are. I'm not like a guy look better than me. Hell yeah. Like, I mean, listen, I'm very comfortable my sexuality to say some men are handsome. Not more than most men, more than me, but some men are handsome.
Who's your favorite?
Handsome man? Harvey's age handsome man right there. that is a handsome man right there. Ever since Malcolm X, I was saying that. Like, and I'm young as hell. I mean, like, he was, yeah. So definitely Denzel. If we go a little later, I mean, Chadwick Boseman was a handsome man. And I know I'm going black, but. Is what it is. Even most of the MCU people are handsome people, and you gotta be handsome to be a star in MCU. So it is what it is. Even Ant-Man was the sexiest man alive for some reason. So
Chris Evans is the sexiest man alive now.
Huh? Yes.
Yeah, Chris Evans.
That's the criteria. You gotta pay.
Go down the list. I mean, Paul Rudd has been sexiest man alive.
That's Ant-Man. Been,
yep. I believe RDJ has been. Sexiest man alive at some point.
Oh yeah, he has. Mm-hmm. Ryan Reynolds has. Well, he's not MCU, but still.
He is now, but Chris Evans.
Well, yeah,
is
that's like, true.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, so I'm very comfortable saying that man is beautiful, sexy, whatever, in my skin. That's my answer.
Arv?
Yeah, I have a list of men. I, as our friend DeAndre saying, I'm completely comfortable with my sexuality also. So I have no problem with that. The scene in the movie is funny because he's talking and he's like, mm-hmm. I see a guy like you, Jack, but I'm not going to be able to look at his shoulders. You know, that's what he said in the movie. I think that's hilarious. And it's true. And as black men, just the community that we're in, we have this, there's this real bias towards homosexuality. It's really sad. So that even the man, even given the appearance of appreciating another man, can be taken negatively. You know, no homo, and these kind of comments that we make, referencing if you're weak, you're being, you know, all these things that being, you know, the homosexuality is a bad thing. So it's kind of something we have to deal with. But I can look and say Denzel Washington's a damn good looking bro. I have no problem with saying that. Michael B. Jordan is a beast. I imagine shape.
Oh God.
Like those. There.
I mean, Amanda didn't have an orgasm. Listen, Amanda,
I forgot about.
Amanda, if you want to have another orgasm, watch the Creed 3 trailer.
Okay.
If you haven't watched it, watch the Creed 3 trailer. The him and the guy that's playing Cannon Conqueror in MCU. These motherfuckers are in shape. Like, oh my goodness. I could definitely say I won't be like that when I grow up.
But I mean, truthfully, there's good look. I mean, like, we obviously, Shamar Moore is a super attractive man. No, there's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's plenty. And Idris, I'm sure. Idris is another attractive black man.
I would divorce my husband for Idris.
Yes.
In Morris a heartbeat.
My wife would leave me for Morris Chestnut in an absolute second. In a second.
Yeah,
we could be having intercourse. He would walk by, she would just get up and leave. Like, it's
nice.
Emily and myself have like hall passes, and people like she left me before. Hers is Nelly. She loves Nelly. She loved Nelly. She would leave me in a second for Nelly, hands down. I even tried to get Nelly to say hi to her. I wrote my phone on Twitter, and then I told her that didn't happen. She said, you can keep trying. It's like, all right, goddamn. My hall passes are at least obviously Felicia Rashad. Felicia Rashad, you ever hear this? Again, marry me. Marry me. However,
though. Yeah, I know I'm engaged and I have a baby, but if you say hi to me, I'm willing to take the plunge. I'll leave him in a second.
And the fucking heartbeat. I love you.
She's in the room. She's in the room. I love you, baby. But
Sasha's here. Sasha's here. My two mamas. but if you're shot, making good. Making good is another one that.
Sanaa Lathan is my one. That's the one. Give me Sanaa, and it's a wrap. Sanaa, Salma Hayek. Those are the two. Yeah, that's it. I don't think I have enough energy for a third person on that list. Even some
Hayek in the Hitman Bodyguard's Wife. Horrible-ish movie. But oh my gosh, she was, oh damn it. Somehow with her breast out and shooting guns.
Y'all just want to motorboat her. I mean, I'd motorboat her, so I get it, but
she might be the most, like, Desperado is the first time I saw her, and it's like striking. Like, she comes out in those cars, and that's legit. Like, I believe that woman is that attractive that people would just lose focus and shit would happen. It's just,
yeah.
All right. I, honest to God, right now will say Harvey and I will have a steel cage match to the death over Selma Hayek.
It's possible we could fight. It's gotta be Kane. I just clip you at the knee and then I'm running for the door, bro. That's it. All you gotta do. That's it.
I'll just let y'all kill each other and then she's mine for the taking.
Oh my God. Desperado. what's the movie she dances in for like 3 minutes? Oh my God.
From Dusk Till Dawn?
From Dusk Till Dawn is, that's not even fair.
Listen, and those are beautiful. But however, if you're talking about her now, Salma Hayek now, not really the MCU movie because she was really covered. Like she was in there for a long time. However, though, the Hitman's Wife, the Hitman's Bodyguard, and the Hitman's Bodyguard's Wife, or whatever that shit's called, damn it. To today, how old she is, she is fucking amazing. She looks so good in the movie. And she's
shooting guns. I want her and Samuel L. to be married in real life.
Oh, that should be hilarious.
I would love it.
I want her to be married.
Have a heart attack. In real life.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you say he'll have a heart attack?
Casey, you know my answer because I've given more than a handful list of women that I would not kick out of bed. So.
Oh, well, I mean, we've had this discussion no fewer than probably 17 times on the SIP list. So.
Yeah,
that's why I said I wasn't going to ask you the question.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, for the listeners' perspective that haven't listened to the SIP list, and if you haven't listened to the SIP list, shame on you. You're all in timeout until you go listen to the SIP list. But okay, I will allow you to speak on the question of if you were presented with that option with the one, oh my God, woman. Is there that moment?
Oh, you want me to pick one? Ooh. Kate Beckinsale, maybe? She's gorgeous. I don't know. There's a lot of, I need options. Salma Hayek. yeah, exactly. I think Kate Beckinsale is the one that first comes to mind, but it's the accent and she's just so beautiful and she kicks ass. So there's that.
So, okay. I won't exclude myself from the conversation.
I was going to say,
I mean, obviously I'm the one out of all of us that has no rings on my fingers.
So. Oh, Margot Robbie. Sorry. I changed my answer. Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie from The Wolf of Wall Street. If she's playing that character, that's who I want. She is. That's unnatural.
I love her character.
I'm a nerd, but put that Harley Quinn outfit on, and then she put that Harley Quinn outfit on. She could turn me to Joker, and it's going to happen.
Scarlett Johansson is unbelievable.
Yes.
This is a whole different episode, man. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, right? Right?
She's amazing.
I was going to say,
weren't we
supposed to be discussing like the boomerang, but no. Anyway.
Yeah, let's get back to that. Yes.
So, yes, like Harvey and Dre, I am a male who is 100% comfortable in his sexuality. I have absolutely no doubt, no problem coming out and saying, yeah, there, you know, that guy is a very handsome man. I'm not necessarily saying, I'm going to, you know, get over here and bend over and whatever, but
no judgment.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with being able to appreciate the attractiveness of everybody. It doesn't have to be the opposite sex or the same sex. You know, Chris, like everybody said before, Chris Evans is an incredibly handsome man.
Yeah, he is.
I would probably put him on my list of people who I think are good-looking men. I'm comfortable in saying that. I mean, you all know me enough to know as well that I'm got a little bit of an edge to me, and probably Johnny will be on that list as well. Because
I met Johnny.
Yeah, and I thought he was Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, what the hell is wrong with you? I was like, that's Johnny Depp. What's with you?
I'm not gonna, it was the angle of the picture, and I'm looking at like, I'm thinking that's Johnny, but that seems too obvious. I'm like, I was trying to dig too deep into the hole. I should have just gone with my gut.
All right, so before we go off the topic, I know we're going off the topic. However, though, Jamie Foxx, I Might Need Security, is one of the stand-ups he did. To me, it's just hilarious. One of the top five things I've ever seen in my life. Real shit. It's underrated. If you have a chance, go watch it. However, the one bit he did was he talked about Prince. And he was uncomfortable seeing how good Prince looked. And then he said, and then he wound up saying, listen, if Prince don't stop, I might fuck the shot of Prince. <He's>
Line.
Jimmy Foxx, I Might Need Security. One of us is just hilarious.
Okay. Yeah, he's funny. Mm-hmm. Okay, so should we go around and just give our reviews and favorite things about Boomerang?
Yeah,
we've kind of talked around all different stuff, but
I think we'll start in the bottom corner below me. I don't know what everybody's screen layout is, but
how did Andre?
Okay.
Me?
Either way. We'll start with Harvey Harvey did request the movie, so we'll start with Harvey and we'll go Harvey, Amanda, Dre, and then back up to me.
Okay. All right. So I love this movie for a multitude of reasons. I think one, Black cast, affluent Black cast, the fact that everybody was Black in the movie was great to see, but wasn't required. You could do this movie with white people. You have to find like a really funny white person to play Eddie's part, but it just happened to be Black people in the movie.
It's very culturally transcendent.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't really see it as, I mean, it's a Black movie because the cast is Black, but it's not a Black subject, if you get what I'm saying.
Right. It's not a Black story.
It's not a Black story. It's just a story with Black people, which is the way movies should be. You shouldn't have an issue with the color of the character. It's just the movie who the actor is. What I do love more than the movie is the soundtrack. The soundtrack is absolutely ridiculous. Babyface was on his game on this one. For nothing else, then End of the Road is on this soundtrack and is absolutely amazing. If for nothing else, it's the first time we get Toni Braxton. Give You My Heart, her and Babyface. I think that's the first track. But then it's Love Should Have Brought You Home. It's Babyface was on fire. TLC is on this soundtrack. Tribe is on this. PM Dawn is on this. The soundtrack is
that song.
Killer. It is killer. So good. I love the music. you get the culture, you get the actors, the actresses, the story, you get everything. All these actors. Melvin Van Peebles is in this movie for like 5 minutes. And you have to, if you appreciate Black film, you appreciate seeing this director. Like, that's so good to see him. Grace Jones is in this movie. Grace Jones,
Eartha Kitt,
was not even acting. She was
John Jay.
That was her. That was that crazy Black model. She was gorgeous. And that was just her. Like, listen, just be yourself from like 78 to 82.
Right.
And we just put you in this movie, right? And she's so good. And it's Martin, who is always that comedic guy. And they put him in some nice clothes and he was good. It's early Chris Rock, like those early scenes before he really blows up. Eddie was like, let me put these people in here. It's like the same thing he did with Damon in Beverly Hills Cop. Damon Wayans is in Beverly Hills Cop for like 30 seconds. Dropped him in here. He does it. It's so.
All right, take your bananas.
Yeah. These little bits. He sees people with star power and he just drops them in so they can get seen. It's a fun, fun movie that I couldn't wait to see in the theaters. I saw it more than once in the theater. So it's one of his best. And it's that crossover becoming him going into acting like we were talking about early. It's when Eddie starts moving into acting, when he's getting into writing his own movies. It's Eddie at probably his best. I'd love for them to like redo that or something. Well, not him at his age, but maybe have like a younger cast, sort of like what they did with Coming to America, and maybe do something again. But it's classic. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Oh my God, it's so much fun. But I love this movie. It's one of my favorite Eddies. And yeah, that's it for me.
Amanda?
Yeah, I agree. Well, so Harvey, did you want to give it a ranking out of 5?
Out of 5. I'm going to give it a ranking, but my numbers are going to represent Eddie movies. So 5 for me is not this movie. This movie is a 4. 5 is Coming to America. So I would give this a 4. I'll give this one, even though Bowfinger is like a 6 for me.
Ew.
Dude, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever.
We need to watch this movie together, people. It's
maybe
also because
I'll watch it again and see.
It's because I love Steve Martin. That helps too. That's why, yeah, because he wrote the movie actually. But I love Eddie in this movie because he's not typical. Yeah. You may be thinking of something else.
I am not thinking of Bowfinger, although now that you say that, I know I've seen it, but I don't remember it. What's the one with Warren Beatty?
That's Bulworth.
Bulworth, that's what I was thinking of. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Eddie was not in that movie.
No, I know, but I don't know why I was thinking. Okay, anyway. So, as I was kind of saying at the beginning, I didn't see this movie in the theater just because we didn't. That was not a thing we did when I was a kid. But once it came on cable, I watched it, you know, if not once a week, at least like 2 or 3 times a month after it came out. Like I latched onto this movie. It was one of my favorites. It was so glamorous. It was so sexy. And then you see people falling in love. And, you know, at the end when he's trying to win her back and he's saying, I can't breathe without you. Like my heart just melted. Like I was just like, that's so romantic. So I really liked this movie a lot. And yeah, it is a Black movie, but to me, it was just a movie that I just thought was incredible with beautiful people in it. So that part didn't affect me one way or the other, but obviously it's great for the Black community and acting community to have all these people, you know, represented in a positive way. I love the idea of turning the same shit men have been doing for years on its back and flipping it around and having it done to him and him getting to see, you know, you don't see a lot, or at least back then, you didn't see a lot of movies where women were doing the, you know, I don't want to say whoring around because that's not, you know, how we should classify it. But, you know, they weren't the ones using their power and living in their, you know, powerful selves and having sex and moving on and having sex with the next one. And that was always a guy thing. So I kind of liked that, you know. Eartha Kitt whispering in Eddie Murphy's ears, I'm not wearing any panties, is my favorite part of this entire movie.
Marcus, darling.
Marcus, darling. And when he realizes he slept with her for no reason, Jacqueline's like, she has no power. And his face, he's like, But yeah, like, it doesn't get much better.
I
than
just do.
Eartha Kitt, I'm not wearing any panties.
No offense, though. It may be just me, but you could have done worse than Eartha Kitt. Like, Eartha Kitt is not, I mean, she's not ugly to me.
Yeah.
I mean, God of truth, single and Eartha Kitt at the time would have given me the time now. I probably did it. I'm not gonna lie.
Did you see how amazing she looked in that lingerie? I mean, at her age, like, first of all, that she was confident enough to do that, but of course, she looked amazing. I mean, her body is spectacular, and so I thought, kudos to her.
Black don't crack, man. I'm telling you.
And yes, the soundtrack, the PM Dawn song, I Die Without You, I listened to that on repeat for years. I taught myself to play the beginning part on the piano. Like, it's just such a beautiful song. And it holds up. I haven't seen it in several years. I watched it again today. I mean, there's a few jokes that are kind of like, yeah, but for the most part, it holds up. And I love Martin's comedic relief. You know, when they're at the restaurant, he's like, that's racist. If we had been white, those would have been asparagus tips, not asparagus spears. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then the whole pool scene with the balls. Okay, I was like, that makes sense. And he's so into it. He's just like, look. So he cracks me up. I would give it a 4 out of 5 bottles of Strange perfume. That's going to be my ranking measurement. And yeah, her in the restaurant yelling pussy over and over and lifting her skirt up. It was just like, oh, Jesus Christ, what's happening?
When are we going to fuck? Amanda, you said it reminds you about a question that you had. Did you ask it already?
I didn't, but the more we've talked, I kind of have like backtracked on it. You were talking about at the beginning kind of how the cast, all the characters rather, are very, you know, successful, powerful, affluent, all of this stuff. And I was wondering if you thought Martin's character took away from that at all, not because of his status, but because of how he spoke so differently than everybody else. But the more I kind of think about it, the more, like, he just didn't seem as classy as the others, but he felt more real. So I didn't know how you felt about that, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I understand. I mean, if you think about it, Eddie is very well spoken. Abby Greer, very much so.
Yeah.
But I don't think I know for sure what Martin's character, I don't know what he did. I'm sure he worked at the same agency, but I don't know what he is. But at the same time, he was just being himself. That's
right.
I think, but I understand exactly what he's the comic relief part. So he's right. But I think what it really does show is that you can be affluent, you can be Black, but you can also be a little bit over the top. While white people, you can be rich and whatever, you can be all over the place, you can be a mess, whatever. And the same thing for Black, that there is no range. There's no
specific. Yeah, I mean, you watch The Real Housewives?
No, I haven't. No. I really, that's my wife's shit. I don't watch that shit at all. You know? I don't have enough room.
Rich
in my
bitches
brain,
be right? Crazy.
All right. So,
but it's a good point. Yeah, it's a valid point.
Mm-hmm. All right. So moving along, Dre, what's your thoughts, bud?
Eddie Murphy, Robin Givens, Halle Berry, David Allen Greer, Martin Lawrence, Grace Jones, Eartha Kitt, Chris Rock, Tisha Campbell, Sunshine, John Witherspoon. And I forgot the name of John Witherspoon's wife. She's always going to be in John Witherspoon movies. She's in Next Friday and House Party. And I think there's one more movie that she's in with John Witherspoon as well.
It in the bathroom at Thanksgiving.
Right. John Witherspoon to me, I mean, the whole movie's funny to me, but John Witherspoon's character was hilarious to me. I heard some girl got the pussy whip. Why you flip it? And what that pussy?
The whole mushroom suit had me rolling. It was what's on my belt? You see what's on my belt?
She took off a piece of her fur. So all the rabbits getting, oh, baby. I was just saying, she's taking off the material.
From my coordinate.
And I love when Eddie keeps going, Gerard, you see what he's got in his suit? He's like, yes. Yes.
So all-star black cast. And the thing about Eddie Murphy around that time as well, that he wanted black cast in a lot of his movies. Harlem Nights.
Coming to America.
Boomerang. Even low movies that people don't realize, like Vampire in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
Which is another black, all black.
Angela Bassett. Angela did that. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So shout out to him, because again, it's not the fact that he didn't want white people in it, but there was not a lot of movies that have black people in it. So he made opportunities for black people to be in it. So that's another big one, and three out of four movies rocked. because see what you want about Vampire in Brooklyn, it's a black classic. I love it. I love that movie. All right,
I love it.
Yeah. So even the shit like Norbit and The Night Professor, like he wanted to keep it black because there wasn't a lot of opportunities for black people. So I like that. The whole movie itself is hilarious to me. If people don't know, this is my first time ever seeing it. I know, right? This is my first time ever seeing it on something. But I'm gonna start for my own podcast. I'm gonna start another show, which is called Draft. And I know Harvey, Casey, and Amanda. I told you about this already. Where we draft on certain topics, and I know for a fact Eddie Murphy's movies will be a topic. And if I can get Boomerang on here, I'll be happy, because Boomerang is one of my top five Eddie Murphy movies of all time.
Yeah. I agree
it
with that.
It is hilarious. It is great.
I'm on that list right now.
It's definitely in my top five.
But the reason why I'm rating how I'm rating this, because Eddie Murphy movies, especially in the 80s and early 90s, are fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm going to give this a 3.9 out of 5.
Okay, Olympic judge.
Right? It's a fucking fantastic movie. Everybody should see it. It's fucking great. It launches Chris. Like, Chris Rock's in it, a small part. He won the raise after 2 weeks. So it's a good movie. It's a fantastic movie. I love this movie. It's quotable as hell. And always take care of your feet. I'm done.
So far obviously all of us have a tremendous love of this movie, and I'm not going to be any different than the rest of the guests on the show and my co-host. This movie is amazing. My hat's off to Eddie. I know this wasn't the first time that Eddie helped bring lesser known or debuting celebrities to the forefront, like Martin and Chris Rock and all of that. But Eddie is very good at finding hidden gems of people that are immensely talented and giving them a stage to get recognized on. And before you know it, bam, you've got Martin Lawrence. You've got, you know, Tisha Campbell, you've got, you know, the Halle Berry, David Allen Greer, Grace, I mean, the whole cast. I mean, it's phenomenal. Eddie is hilarious in this movie. The amount of, like, I'm like with Amanda, I love the fact that it's one of these movies where the tables finally turn and we get to see a guy finally get it stuck to him after all the years of seeing women get played like that. And I think it was a much needed story to tell. Like we were saying with Harvey, this is a very culturally diverse film where I think it could play out just as well in almost any cultural environment. It may not be exactly the same way, play out the exact as it would for, you know, African-Americans, but the story works in every aspect of society. I'm not gonna lie, if we do the draft show with Dre and it's Eddie Murphy movies, there's gonna be some heated fights between everybody on the show as to who gets what movie for their five, because I, for the most part, a lot of us love the same things for different, I mean, you can't go wrong with Boomerang. You can't go wrong with Coming to America, Trading Places, 48 Hours, Beverly Hills Cop. I mean, that era.
Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Okay. I will concede that pick right now to Dre.
You can have that. All yours.
Waste your first round draft pick on Cop 3.
People hate when I say this, though, but there are a couple third editions of a movie franchise that I like better. Beverly Hills Cop 3, I do like better. I'm joking. However, Die Hard for the Vengeance, I like better than Die Hard.
I will agree with you on that.
I like Live Free or Die Hard better than the original Die Hard.
Die Hard with a Vengeance, Samuel Jackson was just a fucking amazing in that movie. Some of the best riddles I've ever heard was in that movie as well. So I love that movie.
Yeah. So
I don't hate Beverly Hills Cop 3. It's not my favorite, but I don't think it's terrible. So.
Oh, it's my least favorite of the franchise, but
yeah, it's terrible.
But
I think the alphabet murders with robberies is better than fucking the third one. The second one's not better than the third one.
It's hilarious. It's better than the third. Better. Oh my God. So much better. So much better.
Girls, you're both pretty.
The alphabet aspect of it may not necessarily be as good, but there's other moments in the movie that I liked better.
Okay. Yeah, so they've got their moments. I didn't like the plot too much in the third one. But that's just me.
I'm not going to lie. I liked Eddie Murphy getting to go to the Playboy Mansion.
Oh, okay.
That's just
me. Can't go wrong with that.
I drove by the Playboy Mansion this year. They actually really are destroying it right now. So it made me cry.
Wow. Yeah, it's got to go.
Print media is just not a thing anymore. And
hey, some bad stuff happened at that place, man.
Yeah,
it's bad
that too. That place gets destroyed. That too.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So, your ranking, sorry.
I'm going to outdo all y'all, and I'm going to give this movie a 4.1 out of 5. Just because, I mean, we all pretty much have the movie in that same ballpark of quality. And again, this movie would be in my top five. If we were to do a top five on the SIP list, Eddie Murphy movies.
Oh, we should, clearly.
Yeah, I'm down for that. This movie would obviously be in my top five. It's not my all-time favorite Eddie Murphy movie. We all know what my all-time favorite Eddie Murphy movie is, and it's Cop 1. But it's a great.
You still get a lot of Eddie love stories, so that's another reason I like it. I mean, you got Coming to America and this. I can't really think of a lot of other ones that you get, like, well, Shrek or Shrek 2, the ones where he falls in love with the dragon. So cute.
The Nerdy Professor.
But anyway.
Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Any chance he gets. Real quick, I wanted to say one thing, because there was one character I wish we would have gotten more of. And it's the little girl from the art class. When she's presenting her collage and he's sitting there making fun of her, and he's like, well, the fish are up here, but the fish bowls are down here. Why aren't the fish in the bowl? And she just because I don't want them there. I loved her so much. I was like, can we get more of her? The way she said that. Anyway.
The boy, the one that I saw, Lakeham, he played one of the most underrated. And we did the, when Casey and Amanda did the, top 104 black sitcoms, the surprise bracket. He was the big brother in The Parenthood with Robert Townsend.
That's one of those ones that's on my long list of things from that that I haven't seen that I need to go see, because Dre recommended I go see, and a couple other people have recommended that I go see as well, because evidently I don't know black sitcoms very well.
I knew more than I thought I did, but there was still a lot that I didn't. So I want to check some.
So yeah. So
all right.
So that I think is going to wrap us up really quick before we get out of here. Always, as each and every week, thank you to the dozens for being here each and every week. I am not going to lie. I am loving the fact that in the last 5 or 6 weeks, our numbers are slowly starting to climb back up for how much we're listening, how many listens we're getting each and every episode. And
awesome.
The Exorcist really took off when we dropped that episode. This week's the 11/9 episode of An Evening at the Movies, because this is going to be dropping the first week of December. But you know, when our Stephen King 1990 revisit for the It miniseries is doing phenomenal right now, and I appreciate you guys coming back each and every week. We're doing this because we have fun doing it, and the fact that you guys keep coming back and listening each and every week shows us that you guys appreciate what we're doing. And even though we're always trying to get better, we still are out here doing it for the listeners. So thank you guys as always. Harvey, tell us about your shows and where we can find them.
Thank you for having me. I will always talk about Eddie. You can find me on Love is Black, the podcast with the wife. You can find me on Men Are the Prize, the podcast. You can find me on That Bracket Bastards podcast. Otherwise, you can just type in my name, Harvey Laguerre, and you'll find me somewhere. You can also find Men of the Prize on the ngbn.tv website, where you can watch Men of the Prize. And as we're recording this, in less than 48 hours, one of us has an episode that is dropping. So be sure to listen to the episode with me and DeAndre. Get it in. We get in. It's fun.
What do you get in?
We get into stuff.
Okay.
Tune in and find out. He's not going to spoil the episode now.
Damn right. You have to listen.
He said get it in, and I was just wondering who was getting what into who. So.
Oh my God. We are comfortable in our sexuality. Whatever we get into, we are cool. But we have We have a great, it's a great conversation. Two men just talking about life and experiences and being black men, black fathers in this world. So I was really honored to have DeAndre on. Yay. Otherwise, just type in my name and you will find me. Oh, by the time this plays, this episode would have been out for months. Well, for a month or so, but it was great.
Either way, if you haven't listened by now,
then go listen to it, dang it.
Go freaking find Men of the Prize and check it out, because I'm sure it will be an awesome episode, and I will be listening as well, because it is a great show and I am a fan of the show. And the fact that it is Harvey's show and one of my great friends DeAndre is on the show, I will gladly listen and support the show.
Hey,
all right, Dre, do you have anything? Tell us about what you've got.
Like the baby.
Just show us the baby.
We have Sasha.
Okay. Well, here you go, baby.
Hi, baby.
My name is DeAndre Robinson. I am one of the hosts of Masturbators. And Masturbators puts in 3 count, but by the time this comes out, we're gonna be doing some stuff, some different stuff. With Masturbators, and things. We probably will just keep the brackets and do the draft. But the recount and the regular Masturbator show will be coming to an end. February 20, actually, maybe our last episode was probably last week, but But it was, it's always fun, like just like Casey said, it's always fun doing this. I always wanted to do this, and I'm going to keep Masturbators going as long as I can. But yeah, that's right now. Just look out for the one-on-ones, the brackets, and the drafts, which hopefully we can get done on Sunday. Yes. At least a pilot episode on Sunday.
I'm looking forward to that as well.
Also, I am allowing for the sitcoms. We're doing the draft sitcoms. I am allowing sketch comedy shows on there as well.
Okay. Okay. That's going to make it difficult.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I can make that. We're going to have a long discussion about the Carol Burnett show. Yeah, I don't understand.
Harvey loves the old school, for those of you that
damn
don't know.
Right.
Hey, so, Carol Burnett was great.
Amazing.
So, all right. So, Amanda, we know you have a wealth of stuff in the bank on the SIP list that you could drop at a moment's notice, but is there anything coming up that you would like to bring to the attention of everybody?
Not particularly. Just check out the SIP list. There's all kinds of top fives coming up. I'm hoping we're going to get the Mount Sitmore together to record soon, but it's been tough to get everybody's schedules together. So when we do, we'll be doing our top five people that we would want to have dinner with, famous people, and they can be dead or alive. So that'll be a good one.
That sounds yes, fun.
Always. It has definitely been way too long since Mount Sitmore has sat down to do a podcast together. And I know part of that is due in large part to the fact that we've been doing horror movies for 8 months in a freaking row.
True. And they don't like horror. So
they're not horror fans. So now that we're wrapping up and moving into everything, Eddie, I know Chris has talked about wanting to come sit down with us and do the Golden Child as well. Mm. So we've got stuff coming up.
You want the knife?
I am going to play with the space-time continuum, and I would like to thank everybody for listening to the Heather's episode of An Evening at the Movies, the Get Out episode of An Evening at the Movies. Oh my God, the new school versus old school debate between Harvey and Dre was so amazing. That went so well.
Now you're putting pressure on us.
Yeah, I am. So, but as far as obviously coming up, we've got the rest of Everything Eddie month in December, as well as the voting is going to be opening for the Greatest Movie Franchise Tournament, which is going to start, I believe, the week before Christmas. So stay tuned for that. The month of January is wide open. We haven't necessarily nailed down what we're going to do in January yet. I've got a couple of different people that want to come on and do episodes. So we might fill in their episodes in January, but then we're going to kick off the month of February with the second anniversary of An Evening at the Movies. So for that as well. Again, I want to thank my co-host for being here. I want to thank my amazing guests and awesome friends, Harvey and DeAndre, for being here. You guys are all amazing. And anytime you guys want to come back and do An Evening at the Movies, you guys are welcome. Obviously, we try and keep everybody informed as to what's coming up on social media. So if you guys ever see anything pop up on the schedule that looks appealing, just shoot me a DM and let me know, hey, I love that movie. Okay, you're in. Because the more the merrier and all of that. So it is what it is. And like I said, you guys are all welcome back. So with that said, though, it is getting late for a couple of people in a couple of different time zones. So I don't want to keep everybody, but
hi, Sasha.
Again, thank you guys for all being here. Thank you to my guests. Thank you to my co-host. Amanda, because I opened the show, take it away. Send us out of here with the call sign.
Thanks for listening, and we all hope you come back for an evening at the movies. Goodbye.
Peace and hair grease. Jesus.
Girl, I'm here for you. All those times at night when you just hurt me and just ran out with that other fella. Baby, I knew about it. I just didn't care. You just don't understand how much I love you, do you? I'm here for you. I'm not out to go out there and cheat all night, just like you did, baby, but that's alright. I love you anyway. And I'm still gonna be here for you to my dying day, baby. Right now, I'm just in so much pain, baby, because you just won't come back to me. Will you? Just come back to me. Yes, baby, my heart is lonely. My heart hurts, baby, because I feel pain too.
To the end.